We're going to continue our discussion with Delegate Jeanne Hadaway, Lieutenant Governor candidate with David Craig. We're going to talk about education, Common Core. We're going to talk about how dependent we are on Washington, D.C. and what that means and how we can deal with, well, we're competing with Virginia to keep businesses here because it's much cheaper to do business in Virginia. And the fact that we lost 9,200 jobs in July. We are back talking to Delegate Jeanne Hadaway, candidate for Lieutenant Governor. Delegate Hadaway, sorry. I'm horrible with names, and I have dyslexia. And I'm a jerk. So you've got three strikes against me. Maryland lost 9,200 jobs in July. There is the state of Virginia, not that far away from here. If you're a business owner, if you're a citizen, there's much lower taxes, a much better business environment a half an hour drive away from here. How can, there's nothing that's been done in the O'Malley administration that incentivizes really anybody except maybe Hollywood to come here and start a business. Somehow they get tax breaks to come here and film. He realizes how that works, but then he makes up for it by making it harder for businesses that are hard businesses that are located here to continue to exist. What do you guys do to stem that tide and, dare I say, reverse it?
Well, I think you're absolutely right. You know, we have to acknowledge the fact that every Marylander lives within 20 miles of a state line. It's not that hard for them to cross. And when it comes to a business decision, a business is going to make a decision that's good for them. So we do need to, first of all, retain the businesses that we have here, but also attract new businesses to come so that we can have jobs for people and help our economy grow. So that's definitely something we want to focus on. In terms of economic recovery, we have to remove some of the regulatory burdens. You know, I want to point out, too, the governor, he did this big social media campaign, and he asked business owners and small business owners to weigh in and tell the administration what the obstacles were. What happened? We've been trying since January. If Delegate Kelly Schultz is listening to this, she's on record asking for this 600-page report that resulted, and we haven't seen any of it yet. So what's the point if you're not going to use the information?
Well, one of the biggest problems I have with Annapolis is, it, especially this was highlighted with the gun issue after the Newtown shooting, the O'Malley introduced gun legislation. They had all those public hearings. People lined up for hours, well into the morning hours, to get their voices heard. Yet it was almost a foregone conclusion how that was going to go. It was more for show. This administration and this government in Annapolis doesn't seem to be very responsive from people. They say, oh, please get involved. Please tell us what you think. By the way, the decision's already made. The vote's in the can. We're just going through the motions. How will you guys change that?
Well, we definitely are going to pay attention to what the people are saying. And you're right. There were 4,000 people at that rally, and there were thousands of people that signed up to testify. And with really good points. I mean, there were like 70 changes to the legislation before it passed. They had to change it that many times just to get the Democrats to vote for it. So, you know, clearly they had no idea what they were doing, and clearly they were ignoring the will of the people. And Doug Gansler, Anthony Brown, they were all in leadership. They are all there. They were all a part of it, and they stood by and let it happen. So it's just going to be like another term of O'Malley if they get the governorship.
Yeah, that's not what we need, is four more years. But since you brought up the Democrats running, let's talk about the little rift between Brown and Gansler there. Gansler is basically on record. He was recorded secretly, and that's wrong. I'm glad we have the information, just like, you know, I'm glad we have what Edward Snowden has told us, but I still think he's a traitor. he was recorded saying basically that Lieutenant Governor Brown is essentially running to be the first black governor, and that's what he's running on. And there was a demand for an apology. Should, in your opinion, Gansler apologize, or does he have a point?
I think that age, gender, race should not matter. Mm-hmm. What matters here is qualifications. And the way that David and I are approaching this campaign is that it's like applying for a job. We're asking the citizens of Maryland to hire us to do a job, and it's not an entry-level position. And again, that's something that I really love about David Craig, is all of the wealth of experience that he brings. He is qualified as an executive to start on day one as governor. And with my legislative experience, I hope to bring that to the table as well. So I think it's about the qualifications of the person.
I'll let that avoidance answer slide just because I'm a nice guy. Now let's talk about the prison issue.
Yes.
We're going to give them concubines and iPads. Is this really prison? I mean, how do you guys... The governor has somehow masterfully said, oh, I knew about this all along, and we're on top of it, and we're making it better. Even though every new scandal comes out, oh, yeah, oh, totally. That's a good thing that we know this now. There should be outrage. There should be heads rolling. People should be fired. Guards should be fired. Yet you can't even fire a guard for getting pregnant multiple times by prisoners. What do you guys propose to do, or what do you want to do to revamp the prison system? It used to be about, you know, justice and punishing people. Now it seems like a vacation home.
Absolutely. Our number one priority should be protecting the citizens of the state and also protecting the correctional officers that are working in these facilities. I mean, we've had incident after incident, and you know, I serve on the Legislative Policy Committee. We had a hearing about this issue, and I asked the secretary, why did you spend $1 million on a capital improvement for the cafeteria at this facility instead of improving public safety when you knew there was an issue, or instead of improving your internal procedures to make sure that they're not getting paraphernalia into the prison? And no good answer.
When a guard is caught, C4 goes off on this all the time, when a guard is caught smuggling something into the prison, the people there are not empowered to arrest that guard. They're
correct.
Basically just, all right, I'm out of here. Go home and play Xbox, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Correct.
That has to change. Why hasn't that? We have an emergency session to get gambling, to get casino, to do everything that's on the governor's wish list. But on the governor's must do, like, unambiguous, this is his job. There's no emergency session to address this. How do you guys plan on being different than the O'Malley administration on this?
Well, public safety is definitely going to rank high on our priority list. And obviously, it doesn't rank high for the O'Malley Brown administration. I mean, it's just example after example. But, you know, we want to work with the laws. We want to hold people accountable. We need to make a decision. Are we going to be a state of rule of law? Are we going to be a country and a state of laws or not? You can't have it both ways.
Well, you can if you're a Democrat. And that's one of the things that's going to be the biggest hurdle I think you guys have to overcome, is that there are so many, it's a legacy voting. It's, oh, my grandfather voted Democrat, my parents voted Democrat, I'm a Democrat, without realizing that the party has changed dramatically and radically over that time. So how do you plan on overcoming the sort of reflex voting that we see in a lot of, and it's the same in red states, there's a lot of just reflex voting. There's the R, there's the D, that's what I vote. There's not a lot of thought given to it, because even though they may agree with you, polling shows that, you know, certain ideas are way more popular on the right than they are on the left with the people, but still people vote opposite of what they think because they don't necessarily trust. They see that R and they think, that's a problem. They're for the rich guy. They're for the wealthy and the powerful. How do you guys plan on overcoming that? It's going to take a lot of walking, a lot of glad handing, a lot of events. You're not going to get a lot of sleep over the next year and a half.
I totally understand and totally prepared for that. And you're right. Grassroots is definitely going to be an emphasis for us. Social media is important. Media is important. But the grassroots, shaking hands with people, looking them in the eye, listening to what's on their mind, that's what we find the most beneficial and the most effective. And everywhere we go, we've been all over the state already, and people are clearly frustrated. So it will be our job in the coming months to make sure that we get our message out, because we believe that our message and our positions on the issue really resonate with people of all parties.
Now, back to the issue, it just occurred to me when I mentioned the Hollywood tax credits that they give out of Annapolis. Come here and film. It's great for business. Mm-hmm. They come here. They film in Baltimore City all the time.
Right.
Do you want to repeal those, or do you want to sort of take that philosophy, would you prefer to take that philosophy and apply it to businesses that already exist?
Well, I think you're right. It makes a case for us that taxes do make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
David and I also use the back to school shopping as an example, right? We give a tax break to people who are purchasing.
Took advantage of it last weekend myself.
Exactly. Retailers will tell you that it's the second best week that they have of the year. So why is it that we limit it to these special interest groups and these limited amount of times? Why are we not working on things that will benefit all of the citizens of the state year round?
It's a crazy idea. But then again, you guys aren't running for president, so you have to think about the state rather than the nation. Let's take a break here and continue this when we come back. Hola, V. Gates. Welcome back. The Derek Hunter Show here on WBAL, talking with Delegate Jeanne Hadaway, Republican candidate for lieutenant governor, running with Harford County Executive David Craig. In our last segment here, we've got with you, let's talk about education, because the governor loves to talk about, oh, we're the number one in education. Don't pay attention to Baltimore. Then it comes to find out that if you got a 60 or a 50 in Baltimore City, they just turn that frown upside down. They turn that into a 90%. So you actually do better than you would have if you'd tried in a lot of cases. People who tried get an 87, well, you're beaten by a kid who got 50%. The education system is a mess in the city of Baltimore. What can people of Baltimore expect? How much help? I mean, it's not a Republican city, but that's sort of been a theme around the country is administrations of different parties sort of ignore different parts of the state. But what can Baltimore City expect from your administration?
Well, this is a great question, because education is really David Craig's bailiwick. This mm-hmm. is what he did. He was an educator for many years, and one of the many things that David and I have in common, we were both educated in public schools here in Maryland. We both attended universities here. I went to Salisbury. He went to Towson and Morgan State. So, number one, we have a clear concern about educating our children in the state, and we feel very passionately about it. You're right. We can say that we're number one all day long, but at the end of the day, we still have huge disparities in this state, and we are letting these children down. So we need approaches that work for everyone, and we need to stop putting all of these mandates on the local school boards. I don't know why we don't learn from our mistakes. We had the mishap way back when. Then it was MSAs. You know, then it was the next mandate. Now it's Common Core, and it's just over and over and over again. We need to get out of the way and let the locals have more control. We need to let teachers teach in the classroom. Yeah, that's
what
the most
about school
thing.
Choice or vouchers or anything?
Absolutely. And again, going back to the disparities that we have across the state, I think competition is good and competition is healthy. And these children deserve an equal opportunity to a good education. This is how we secure our future as a state. This is how we secure our workforce. We have to give them the skills that they need to be prepared to go to college or to the workforce.
Now, as Lieutenant Governor, your job would be sort of dictated by whatever the governor decides to give you. That it's sort of ambiguous that way, and you have certain issues that you care about. What will be, as you as Lieutenant Governor, your top priorities? Where do you see making and want to make the biggest difference and have the most impact in a positive way on the lives of Marylanders?
Well, David has clearly told me that I would have a role in the administration in terms of legislative package, policy, and those sorts of things. So that's something that I'm very excited about, because I am sort of a policy wonk. I love that part of it. And as a business owner, I will be helping shape the policies for the economy. Also, I'm president-elect of the Women's Caucus, so I spend a lot of time working on women's issues and children's issues, so I would see myself taking a lead on those as well.
One of the things that I call him Tommy Carchetti, but you don't have to, I assure you that you're probably offended by that, but it's done out of affection and contempt. I mean, oops. Anyway, Governor O'Malley is trying to take the lead on the global warming issue, except the planet has stopped warming over the last 15 years. But other than that, it definitely needs to be addressed right away. And imposing taxes and regulation and things like that, he's looking to do essentially a lot more damage to our economy before he leaves. Where you guys fall on that? Because I don't know whether or not you guys, you and Mr. Craig, are on board with that. Because he's getting praise in the Baltimore Sun today about his lead and the fight against carbon pollution. We're polluting right now as we exhale. You know, somebody's going to come in here, SWAT team, and going to put a bag over our heads if they have their way in Annapolis. How will you guys be different?
Well, I guess the natural question to ask is, when is enough enough? Okay, Maryland already has some of the strictest air quality standards in the country. We have a renewable portfolio standard. And David and I feel strongly about the environment. We do need to protect the environment, but we can't do it at all costs. We have to find a balance between the economy and the environment. And that, again, is something that this administration has ignored and that Anthony Brown has stood by and let happen all of these years. I serve on the Public Utilities Subcommittee, and I like to joke about the offshore wind, for example. We're the only state I know that would pay $400 million for a consultant to tell us that that's the most expensive option and then go ahead and do it anyway.
It's for the children. Don't you love the
children?
We
need common sense approaches to all of these issues.
Well, speaking of common sense, I'll ask you, I'll just throw this out there and let you respond to it any way you can, even laughingly. The rain tax. If people get fired up over the rain tax, will that be a priority to get rid of?
Absolutely. Absolutely. David and I have called repeatedly for a repeal of the rain tax, and it is in our sights, something that we will push for. It has made us the laughingstock of the country.
Yes.
And it is one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard of. And what does it accomplish and what does it achieve?
It gets more money
Nothing.
Into Annapolis.
Exactly.
And that's it.
That's it.
And that's all it is. But all right. Now, Delia Jeanne Hadaway, give us 1 minute, 45 seconds, 1 minute pitch, where to go, your website, all of that, how people can find out more about you and David Craig.
Yes, thank you for the opportunity. You can go to davidcraig.com for more information about both of us as candidates and also about our policies and our plans for the future and where we stand on the issues. So please go to davidcraig.com and take a look, and we hope to hear from
you. You got the Twitter machine going?
We do. You can find us on Twitter. You can find us on Facebook. We're working on all the social media. But we would also love to meet you in person. So get on the website. Tell us where you are. Invite us to your
clubs. You have events listed on the website?
So yes.
You're looking for speaking engagements, too.
Come to our
events. There you go.
Invite us. We want to meet people in person as well. So
get on it and do it. Delegate Jeanne Hadaway, running for lieutenant governor with Harford County Executive David Craig. I appreciate your time. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much.
And look forward to having you back, and look forward to beating whoever the Democrats end up with out there come next